What a great song choir sang. And it has a little part in it that is a prayer that I find myself praying more times than I really care to admit. And that is, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. It's a great song and a blessing. Turning tonight in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Let's begin reading at verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray that you would help us and be our teacher tonight as we look into your word. We thank you for these who have come and for the faithfulness of your people and for the desire that you put in their hearts to gather here with you, the word living, the Lord Jesus Christ, and around the word written. And we pray that our time would be a blessing to you tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we want to continue to think about the importance of the Stand Up for America rally that is planned for the 29th, just a little less than 3 weeks away. And I would remind you, if you are interested in riding the bus, if you've signed up, if you'll put a check mark by your name, we would appreciate that. We need, if there's enough interest, to contact the bus company as soon as we can. And there's flyers back there. If you can take them and you can put them up, that would be great too. But what we're doing in the lead up to the rally is we're thinking about the things that Dr. Beatty mentions on the flyer that we need to stand up for. Last week we talked about our flag and the anthem that celebrates it. Tonight we want to talk about our law enforcement and military. Now, just as we don't find the word flag in the Bible, we don't find the words law enforcement either. But as is the case with the word flag, as we do find law enforcement in the Bible. And as we might expect, we find law enforcement for the first time here in the book of Genesis. Notice again Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Now the placement and the timing of this verse is very important. God is speaking to Noah after the flood. And so this verse, I believe, takes us back to the specific conditions that existed before the flood. And what were those conditions? We'll look back at Genesis chapter 6, just a few pages. Genesis chapter 6, and look at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Twice, the Lord specifically tells us that the earth was filled with violence. And that violence, I believe, based on the implication of Genesis 9:6, was murder. One of the imaginations of the thoughts of man's heart that was only evil continually, according to Mark chapter 7, one of those imaginations is murder. After sexual sins, the next evil thought that begins in the mind of men and proceeds from the mind into action in the life is murder. The society that existed before the flood had become a violent and a lawless society. The civil society, the order had broken down. The freedom and individual liberty that we see in Genesis chapter 5, and we've talked about it before, has been lost through the apathy and the compromise of the people of God. Apathy and compromise that we see in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 6. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And through the apathy and the compromise of the people of God with Cain and his descendants and their socialistic totalitarian mindset, the moral order that draws distinct lines between truth and error and right and wrong is lost. It's been lost here in Genesis chapter 6. God-given unalienable rights are no longer respected, specifically the right to life. The earth was filled with violence. And when life is no longer respected, then liberty and the freedom to choose will soon die. By the way, that's exactly what has and is happening in America. And it's happening for the same reasons that it happened here in Genesis chapter 6. God's people, through apathy and indifference, have compromised and failed to stand up against the modern day descendants of Cain and his humanistic, socialistic, and totalitarian mindset. And the modern day descendants of Cain are the Democrat Party, to be perfectly honest with you, and their allies in the media. And when things reach this point in Genesis chapter 6, the judgment of God was poured out upon the earth. But not before Enoch and Methuselah were taken out of this world. One by translation, one by death. But neither went through the judgment of God. And as we see these same conditions that existed in the days of Noah, as we see them right now in our day, it's a reminder, it's a message that the judgment of God is about to be poured out on the earth. And this time it will not be water, it will be fire. But again, before that happens, the Methuselahs, them also which sleep in Jesus, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then Enoch, believers that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is the importance of our understanding the days of Noah as we find them here. But let's go back to Genesis chapter 9, because we want to think about the days after the flood. The flood comes, and after the flood, God establishes human government He establishes human government to deal with the conditions that existed before the flood, the earth being filled with violence. And he says in verse 3, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. These words are the basis for a civil society where the unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the freedom to choose of the individual are protected. And what protects those rights are government. Government. The founders understood this. When they wrote the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. And what protects those rights are governments who exercise their God-given authority to establish legitimate laws and to enforce those laws equally. And this rule of law that we see here in Genesis 9 and verse 6, it has to be enforced. The rule of law has to be enforced. And so as Mr. Creech says, that presupposes a legal system where violators of the law are tried. And before lawbreakers can be tried, they have to be apprehended. And so inherent in these words in verse 6 is a group of individuals whose job it is to enforce the law. The person who sheds another man or another woman's blood has got to be captured. They've got to be taken into custody so they can be tried. So that if they are guilty, they can face the consequences of their crime. This, from the beginning of human government, has been the law, has been the job, rather, of law enforcement. And so I believe you can write those words beside Genesis 9 and verse 6. Law enforcement. But the commentary and the full explanation of Genesis 9, 6 is found in the 13th chapter of Romans. So I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 13, if you will. Romans chapter 13. And let's read, beginning at verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Here's the civil society that we were talking about in Genesis chapter 9 as God establishes human government after the flood. Here is the rule of law. Here's the detail, if you will, of Genesis 9 and verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And what we see here in verse 4 is that government, as God established it, is to be the minister of God to its citizens for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. God has placed the sword of judgment. He's placed the sword of civil rule and civil order in the hands of government. And it's a two-edged sword, if you will. One edge is the judges and the court system where evildoers are tried. The other edge of that sword are the law enforcement officers who respond and pursue and apprehend those who have violated the law. And these law enforcement officers, like judges, are the ministers of God to us for good. For good. The first encounter I ever had with a policeman was when I was about 6 years old. We had a dog named Scamp. And Scamp was a character. And I do not mean that in a good way. He didn't have character. He was a character. And Scamp loved to go across the road, and he loved to go across the little divide between these two rows of houses, and he loved to get in this man's chicken houses. And so one day the man had had it, and he came out of the house with his shotgun, and Scamp took off. And my brother David, bless his heart, he tried to put his hand on that man to keep him from shooting Scamp, and that man just pushed him to the ground and he fired his gun. I don't know if he hit Scamp or not, but Scamp disappeared. And that night there was a knock on the door, and there was this great big police officer there. And he asked my daddy, he said, "Do you want to press charges against," I forget the man's name, man. And my daddy said, "No, we don't want to press charges." Nobody was hurt. I think deep down he was kind of glad Scamp ran away. But I'll never forget the kindness of that police officer to go out of his way to come to our house and to put his arm around me and say, "Son, it's okay. Your dog might still be alive." He had a way about him. And I think about that when I read these words, the minister of God to thee for good. You know, that's why we see on so many of the patrol cars these words, to protect and serve. To protect and serve. I believe that's a biblical interpretation of these words that we see twice in verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. And we see our responsibility toward law enforcement here. Look at verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Now notice these next words. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? The power that law enforcement has, that God has given to them. That word afraid is an important word. In the context here, it means to reverence. It means to venerate. It means to treat with deference, that is, respectful submission. That's how law enforcement is to be treated. We've lost that in this country. It started back in the 60s with the political and the racial unrest that many of us remember. That's when policemen began, at least in my memory, to be called pigs. And that's continued until what was an insult in the 60s has now devolved into a threat, if you will. The call for the killing of policemen. Pigs in a blanket. Fry them like bacon. That was some of the words that rang out in New York and other cities across this country in recent months. We've lost our respect for law enforcement officers in this country. And that is a sin against God, who says in verse 3, rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. And that loss of respect is reflected in a resisting of God-ordained authority. And that's a sin against God. Look at verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Young people, I want to say something to you tonight. And it's not just to young people, it's to all of us, but I guess particularly young people. When a police officer stops you, do not resist. Do not resist. Do what he or she tells you to do. If they are wrong, and they can be wrong, they're human beings, the vast majority of them are trying to do their best to do their job and enforce the law. Yes, there are a very small minority of men and women who are police officers who have no business being in that position. But they're a very small minority. And if you're stopped, do not resist. Do what the law enforcement officer tells you to do. Because that's what God tells you to do here in verse 2 and verse 3. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That word means judgment. If the law enforcement officer is wrong, that can be addressed. It can be addressed by the other part of the law enforcement sword. And that's the court. That sword of justice that we read about in these verses, when we read about that sword of justice coming against evildoers, it can apply to law enforcement officers who do evil, who do wrong. We saw that in the case of Officer Derek Chauvin in the George Floyd case. But Derek Chauvin is the exception in the world of policing in this country. He's not the rule. Do not resist the power of law enforcement, because you're resisting the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation, judgment. I want you to think about something. I want you to think about how many of the police-involved shootings in the past several years, with the ensuing rioting and destruction that followed, would never have happened if the people would not have resisted arrest. And yet, do you hear the media mention that very simple principle? You don't. In fact, they take the side of the evildoers. In April of this year, there was a deputy-involved shooting in Elizabeth City, out in the northeast corner of the state. Deputies came to execute a search warrant on Andrew Brown Jr., and he jumped in his car and attempted to drive off, endangering the lives of some of those deputies. A car can be a weapon, you know. And Mr. Brown was shot and killed. One of the anchors on Channel 5, as the video was shown over, and the police video, the body cam video was shown over and over, one of the anchors on Channel 5 said this: if only they had let him go. If only they had let him go. Now, what would have happened if they had let him go and he had flown down the road and collided with a minivan with a mother and two or three of her children in there and killed them all? You know what they would have said? Why did the police let him go? Folks, I don't understand how we get men and women to do that job. They can't win. They're in a no-win position. And yet, many, many, many of them go to work day in and day out. We ought to thank them for that. This anchor said, if only they had let him go. That's the attitude of the media. The police are the problem. It's wrong. You see, instead of inflaming the situation, this anchor could have tried to calm the situation and help educate some young people who were looking on by saying, if only he had not resisted. If only he had not resisted. That shifted the blame. That statement, if he'd made it, would have shifted the blame from the police to the perpetrator. Young people, I want to emphasize to you again, if you're stopped, do not resist. Do what the law enforcement officer tells you to do, because that's what God tells you to do here in these verses. In the book of Acts, in chapter 4, we read about the captain of the temple. The captain of the temple. He was a civic commander. He was a commander of the Levites who acted as a kind of guard or police force in and around the temple. In Acts chapter 5, we see the captain of the temple again and his officers. And they come and they arrest Peter and John in Acts chapter 4 and the apostles in Acts chapter 5. And in neither case did these men resist arrest. Peter and John did not resist in Acts chapter 4. The apostles did not resist in Acts chapter 5. And that's important because these men were wrongly arrested. They were wrongly charged. They were wrongly jailed. And yet they did not resist arrest. I believe if they had, they would have been killed. They didn't resist arrest. They made their case in court. They made their case on the other side of the sword of the legal system. That's what Peter and John did. And they won their case in Acts chapter 4. They were threatened, and then they were released because the court found nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done, the healing of the lame man. In Acts chapter 5, Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, became, in effect, the lawyer for the apostles. He made their case. He brought up some recent history of people who had tried to lead revolts and they had failed. And then he said, listen, if this work be of men, it's going to come to naught. If it be of God, you don't want to be fighting against it. And the court agreed with Gamaliel. And after they had beaten the apostles and commanded them not to speak in the name of Jesus, which they were not going to obey, they let them go. The point is, they did not resist arrest. The apostle Paul had his share of arrest. And yet he never resisted arrest. He made his case in court. And he made his case in court to the point that finally, King Agrippa and the governor and the folks that were there with them, they went aside and they deliberated about the Apostle Paul, what they were going to do. And they talked between themselves. And they said this man doeth nothing worthy of death or bonds. And the judgment of that court was given by King Agrippa in Acts 26 and verse 32 when he said to Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Yes, there is law enforcement in the Bible. And these people respected law enforcement. That's been lost in this country. That's why on October 29th, we need to stand up for our law enforcement more than ever. In the wake of the unrest and the violence following George Floyd's death last summer, the solution has been to defund police departments. Defund police departments because They are systemically racist. Folks, police departments are not any more systemically racist than this country is, as we talked about last week. But one of the reasons that police departments are accused of being systemically racist is because, according to the 2019 FBI Uniform Crime Statistic Report, African Americans make up 13.4% of the population, and yet 51% of the people arrested for murder in 2019 were African American. When you look at rape, robbery, aggravated assault, 36% of the people arrested were African Americans, who only make up 13.4% of the population. The disparity in these numbers is never examined to find out why African Americans are committing more crimes. How, when they're only 13% of the population, they're 51% of the murders. No one ever talks about the breakdown of the black family, the absence of black fathers in homes, or how 70% of black children are born out of wedlock. No one talks about the need for abstinence until marriage. No one talks about the federal and state government taking the place of fathers in the black home. No, the problem is systemic racism in police departments. The same is true when it comes to police shootings. What you'll hear are things like, you're 2.5 times more likely to be shot by police if you're black than you're white, than if you're white. That's based on per million of population. But if you factor in the crime rate for 2019 of blacks and whites, there is no difference between the chances of an African American being shot by the police as compared to a white person. They're exactly the same. So there is no systemic racism there. The numbers for 2020 appear to be even more striking. But please don't confuse the liberals and the media with facts. And so the answer is to defund the police. Reimagine policing, whatever that means. There's a lot of cities in this country doing it. The Minneapolis, Minnesota City Council approved cutting $10 million from the police budget. And they wanted to do that as a step toward creating safety. Listen, safety for every single resident of the city. Does it work? The result has been 60% more homicides this year. 269 shootings through July, which equals all of the shootings from last year. Seattle planned to cut the police budget by 50%, with another cut of $76 million for this year. Result? 525% increase in crime compared to July of 2019. New York officials agreed to shift $1 billion from the police department. Atlanta has cut their corrections budget by 60%. Baltimore approved a $22 million cut. Philadelphia canceled a $19 million increase for their police department, and then shifted $14 million from the current police budget. That is a turnaround of $33 million. Washington, D.C. cut $15 million. And the result in every one of these cities, every one of them have seen a significant increase in crime. But what about police deaths? What about police deaths? Ever hear as much about those? According to the FBI, through August 31st of this year, 50 law enforcement officers have been feloniously killed. That's through the first 8 months of 2021. That represents, listen, a 51.5% increase compared to the same period in 2020. The FBI reports that in 2021, unprovoked attacks have outpaced all other circumstances of felonious officer deaths. Did you hear that? Unprovoked attacks on the police are ahead of all the other circumstances that have taken place, that have taken the lives of officers in this country. But what do you hear on the news? The very opposite. It's unprovoked attacks of the police on the citizens of this country. Do you know why it is? Do you know why these unprovoked attacks have outpaced all the other circumstances this year? It's because of a total disregard of these verses here in Romans chapter 13. It's people in the government. That's where it starts. That's where this attack on law enforcement has been promoted over the course of these last months. And then that gets down, that attitude gets down to people in the street. And what you have on both levels is resisting the power, resisting the ordinance of God, refusing to respect and submit to the higher powers. And one of those higher powers that is ordained of God for our good is law enforcement. And the resistance of this nation is bringing damnation. It's bringing judgment. And the judgment that we're receiving is a land filled with violence. You don't have to go on the internet, look for Chicago, or look for New York, or Los Angeles, or Atlanta. All you have to do tomorrow morning when you get up is cut on Channel 5. Some of you watch Channel 11. That's okay too. And what will you hear? Fayetteville, Raleigh, Durham. Murders. Every city, every night. The land is filled with violence, just as it was in the days of Noah. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Folks, the Lord Jesus is coming soon. There's no question about that. And He tells us, He tells His servants to occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. And one of the ways that we can do that, one of the ways that we can do that is to go to Raleigh from October the 29th and stand up for America and take a stand for our flag. Take a stand for our law enforcement. I hope the Lord will really speak to our hearts about that and really put on our hearts to go. I think there's 77 or 78 people now that are signed up. Don't forget to put a check mark by your name if you are interested in riding the bus. But the main thing is to go. And let's take a stand there. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and that for all of the direction and all of the knowledge that we need. It's right here for us. We pray that You would help us to stand in these very dark and evil days, that we might shine for You and be a blessing. We pray for the rally. We pray that You would stir up the people of this state. Stir up Your people. Stir up the churches. And Father, we pray that You would fill Halifax Mall with thousands and thousands of people who are willing to say and take a stand for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in the Lord's name. Amen.